I have the privilege of introducing to you my little sister, Flora. And spiritually, she is my big sister. She is a spiritual giant. And in a moment, we're going to show you a video of her hometown. And in the video, you'll see a lot of footage of her neighborhood. And the images are, I felt a little detached the first time I watched it, because it was weird to think, wait, that's a house. Oh, that's a street. Those are homes. So you'll see in it, and if you can take it in, try to absorb what you can see, because that is Flora's hometown. I have been to Flora's hometown a few years ago, but my father is the one who initially went to Flora's hometown. Him, Eric Klass, Vic Marquez, and Don Bauman went to Kenya in 2006, and they met this little eighth grade girl who was such a perfect blend of grit and faith. And to this day, I think that's what you'll see in Flora. That's what she is. In fact, she flew into town this Tuesday evening, hit the ground running. She spoke Wednesday morning at Sierra Lutheran High School. She spoke Thursday at Douglas High School, which is a public school, and she professed Jesus Christ boldly for him. Yeah. She really did wonderful on that. And she's just hit the ground running. She's done such a great job. But while we were at Douglas High School, one of the students came up and said, "Flora, what made you rise above your circumstances in a different way than other students or other kids in Mathare slum?" And her answer was so good. She said, "God, hard work, God, hard work." And that's what I mean about that grit and then that faith. It is God's grace. But there was an element of hard work that Flora has put in. And you're going to see that as she speaks. So she has gotten to have almost a week here. A lot of new things for Flora. She has never seen snow. Christmas lights. She thinks we're all crazy, which we kind of are. She'll be here through Christmas with our family. So that's not the only crazy thing you're going to see in our family. But yeah. Thursday morning, Wednesday, she baked cookies for the first time, and then we offered cookies to Douglas High School students. That's how you get public school kids to come to a Christian thing. She makes some good cookies. And I also caught her, I think it was Friday morning, I caught her in my parents' laundry room, and she's just staring at the dryer watching her clothes tumble around. And so it's been so fun to see America through her eyes. And we are now going to go and see Kenya as much as we can on video through not so much her eyes, but our eyes. We're going to go and we're going to see, like I said, try to take as much of this video as you can. It will continue to loop through, I believe, as she is speaking. And she's aware that you might not be looking at her as she's speaking. She's okay with that. So without further ado, let's go to Flora's hometown.
Tinga, tinga, malo tinga.
My name is Flora Savai, and I thank God very much for this opportunity. We are a family of 10, and we thank God because he has been faithful to us. I've been staying in the slums since 1991, and I'm still there, but I know I'm going to come out. I also want to thank the sponsors for supporting me in my school fees and other things. I know God will bless them. I want to be in future a director of a bank, of the World Bank.
Okay, well, we're here with Flora Savai. I'm not Andrew, but it has been 3 years since we talked with her last. And Flora, Abarigani. When you graduate in December, correct? Will you be able to then go to university, or do you have to wait?
I have to wait for 1 year. Yeah, until we are called to the different universities in the country. It's wonderful to work with the Lord. He's my comforter, he's my strength, he's my everything. I trust in him when I can trust in no one. And I desire to live for him. Amen.
Program, my law program. I did my bar exams, passed. And after passing the bar exam, we are meant to take an internship that takes 6 months. And I've already done that, so I am waiting for admission to the bar once the bureaucracy works in my favor.
And I'm going to step back and let her speak. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be here today. It's a beautiful day and a gift from God. It's my first time out of my country, Kenya. As you've all seen, my name is Flora Savai. My first time on a plane, my first time on this side of the world, my first time seeing Christmas lights. Yeah, a lot. First times, so many first times. But I thank God that he has given me this opportunity to be here today and to share my life with you and to share his goodness over my life with you all. And especially during this time as we celebrate Jesus and his birth, he's our King and our Savior. And the Bible in Matthew chapter 1 gives an account of the birth of Jesus Christ. And verse 22 and 23 says, all these things happened so that what the Lord had said through his prophet would come to pass, that a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a child, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And I just want to share what Emmanuel, God with us, has meant for me through my life, and to share what Emmanuel means to us all, that God is with us. We are assured by God that though we are separated from him through our sins, when man fell many years ago, but he has assured us that he is Emmanuel, and he has chosen to be with us through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate him during this Christmas. And I'm glad that I have been able to find this grace from Jesus Christ. I've been able to find salvation and to find hope and joy and peace and forgiveness because Emmanuel has been born for us all. I was born in Mathare slums, Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. And I don't know how to explain to you what it means to live there in a way that will bring it home. You can see the pictures, and I don't know whether that can still explain. I know some of you have been to Mathare from this church, and I believe you have an idea of what it is. I believe you can remember the sights, the smell, the sounds, the people, the streets, and everything. But I will try and explain what it meant for me to live there. I know what it means to go hungry, go to school on an empty stomach. I know what it means to live in a 10 by 10 room with 8 siblings and to wonder even how to sleep on that small floor. I know what it means to sleep on a muddy floor, because how it looks outside here is exactly how it looks inside the house. And that is where you have to place something for you to sleep. I know what it means to have the landlord lock that same door that is almost not a door because you can't afford $4. And he locks your door until when you can bring the $4. And you have to find how to survive. I know what it means to have no sanitation. As you can see, there is no sanitation around. I know what it means to have no water and to have to buy water. Anytime you need water for drinking, for cooking, for washing, you have to pay for it. And you pay for it to someone who has illegally tapped it from the main source of water. I know what it means to have no bedding, to have no bed. I know what it means to have no clothes or shoes. I know what it means to have no electricity in the house and to have to study with a candle, and everyone needs that same candle in the house. And so you have to find a way to finish your homework at school. I know what it means to walk in insecurity and always afraid and scared of what might happen next, living amidst gangs and people doing illegal stuff, and the police can't get down to the slums because it's too dangerous for them. I was telling my American family yesterday, I'm shocked that the police are a phone call away here. And down there, if your neighbors can't help you, no one will come to your rescue for anything. And as you can see, the doors there, it just needs one kick and the door will be open. So even as you lock your door to sleep, your security is only found in Jesus, not in your door. I know what it means to be sick and not go to hospital because you can't afford hospital and you have to pay for you to be treated. I know what it means to lack school fees. I understand school is free in America. Where we are, we have to pay to go to school. And I know what it means to be in and out of school because you can't afford the uniform, you can't afford enough books, you can't afford stationery. I know what it means to walk in fear of sexual abuse because you see it every day. And nothing is done. But above all these things I'm saying, I know what it means to live a hopeless life. No dignity, no identity of any kind. Just existing because you are born and you have to exist. And all this is not easy to carry just for a single day and still believe that he is Emmanuel. But I'm glad that I'm here today, because God is good. When I joined school, going to kindergarten, I didn't know what that meant. I was just glad I was going away from home. Despite all those things that are happening in the slums, it can only be good that your family be a functional family and a family where you can find refuge, but I didn't have that. So going to school was a good thing for me. I was happy. At first I was away from home, but I was able to find friends to play with and be assured of a meal. My school was a mission school, and so they provided lunch for us, and so just in case we missed dinner that night, I knew I would have taken lunch at school, and that was good to know and make me go to school. When I joined school, people, some kids that I went to school with at Mathare used to say I was poor, you know, and they were all poor, but they said I was poor, so I started realizing, oh, it's that bad, you know. And it's because I couldn't afford what they could at least afford. My family was very big, and even as people struggle to provide for their families, it's a little easier when you have a very small family. So I couldn't afford what they could at least afford, and so it made me aware that I didn't have much, and it made me feel so bad. My parents couldn't afford to take care of 7, 8 siblings of mine. We were 8 children, and my dad used to work as a watchman. He would watch over a shop, an Indian guy's shop in Kenya, and my mom used to sell corn, cooked corn and beans, for us to survive. But my dad stopped working at some point. There's a day the shop he works at was attacked, and the shopkeeper and my dad were both shot, and he wouldn't work anymore. He was hospitalized for 6 months. He came back. He went into depression. He became an alcoholic. And my mom followed suit, and she went into depression. And we had to figure out how to survive as the kids. My grandma took in my older siblings, and I was left at home to take care of the young ones together with my mom. And that wasn't easy for me. I was pretty young. And that meant balancing school, being a housekeeper, being a nanny, and helping with my mother's business. And it was just crazy for me. I had to mature and grow up beyond my age and not live like other kids my age, because I had to take responsibility for 4 other kids. Through all this, I didn't know who Christ was. My school was a mission school. We were taught about God, and I believe you all know Andrew. He was one of my teachers that will teach us about God and tell us how God is good and all those things, but I never related. I just knew there is someone called God in heaven, and he can hear us when we call on him, but I didn't have a relationship with him. Of course, I didn't even have a reason to believe he really cared. And after being in and out of school for around 5 years, God came through for me, and I was absorbed into a scholarship program in my school at Mathare, in the mission school, and I was able to go to my 8th grade to complete. And just before I completed, in my 7th grade, I attended a camp that was sponsored by my school, a Christian camp. And I went to that camp, and the Lord used that camp to change my life and to turn my heart to him and to make me trust him. And I decided to give my life to Jesus at that age. And I found my identity in Jesus Christ. I realized I mean something to God. And I felt like a burden had been lifted off my shoulders, and I had found freedom that I had never felt before. And I came to understand that my relationship with God didn't depend on what I had or didn't have, and that He loved me just as I am. And He showed me what the true meaning of Emmanuel is. I did my eighth grade and I performed well. I was among the top students in the country, and I was invited to one of the best schools in Kenya, high school, but I still didn't have the fees to go to school, such an expensive school. And God once again showed me who He was, Emmanuel. And I got a scholarship once again to go to school. And I was so glad. I went through high school for the 4 years. And I did well once again. I was invited to study library and information science. In Kenya, things are a little different. You are matched to a major course for you to take if you want a government loan for your schooling. If you can't take what you are given, then you have to have attained their cutoff points for a certain course for you to get the loan. If you don't want that, you do what you want to do, but then you pay for yourself. I didn't want to do library and information science. I wanted to be a lawyer. And so I was a little devastated, but I began my preparation to join college, and just before I could join, I met Douglas, Andrew's brother, and he told me about One Life Africa and Abridge Ministries. And he advised me to apply for a scholarship to study what I wanted to study, which I did, and I was given an opportunity to be the firstborn of the program. And I was able to go to school once again, to go to college. I later came to realize I had met most of the people in Bridge Ministries and in One Life, the Bridge Ministries board, Pastor Dawn, my American parents, Greg and Jeannie, my sister Karen, and so many other people I had met before. And so I went through college. In 2015, I graduated with my degree and proceeded for a two-year law school program for certification and admission to the bar. I took my bar exams last year, at the end of last year and passed, and this year I've been doing my apprenticeship for admission to the bar. And so by God's grace, I'm going to be admitted in January when I go back and be sworn in, and that can only be God. I haven't done anything to deserve all that He's done to me. And I thank Him so much because He has raised up people to be a blessing to my life. He's a good God. I want to major in human rights law and try and help women and children, especially in my country, and just help them realize their God-given abilities to, especially the women in very poor backgrounds. The best thing you can do, mostly it is the men who work. So for you as a woman, as you grow up, maybe you don't have fees, so you don't go to school, or you don't have really much. You think you need to just get married for you to have something. And so you get married even at a very young age and get into abusive marriages because it is the men who provide. So if you want anything to do with provision, you just think of marriage. And I believe women can do something better, even to help their husbands. Most women in the slums don't work. They depend on the little that their husbands earn, and that is so hard to provide for families. And they can come up and do something. They can believe in themselves, of course, as I point them to Jesus Christ. And I also want to help children and protect them. Protect them from sexual abuse. Protect them from poverty. And just make sure they go to school and get an education and get something good to do with their lives and believe that and know that they are the children of a king who cares about them and who loves them so much. And I believe, like Queen Esther, God has raised me at such a time as this for a noble purpose, for His glory. I'm looking forward to spending Christmas here on this side of the world. And it's very different in Nairobi, in Kenya, and in Mathare. Mostly families travel to their rural villages to spend with their families and cook food. The major thing is just cooking a lot of food and food and food and food. But in Mathare, it's quite different. It's a normal day. If you go to church, if you believe in Jesus, you wake up, you go to church for a one-hour service, you go back home. And if you have saved something, you prepare a meal that you haven't had in a long time, and mostly that is beef. For most families and other families, it's chicken. So in Mathare, things are quite different. But it doesn't matter how you spend your Christmas. It really doesn't matter whether you have much, you have little. What matters is that unto us a son is given, a child is born, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us all. And he cares about all of us. And if you are in this place today and you think, you feel discouraged, you are scared of something, and you think maybe you don't have much for Christmas, and there is just something bothering you, I want to encourage you and tell you that God is Emmanuel. He is with you, and he is able to grace you through whatever you're going through. I want to thank the Bridge Ministries under this church and everyone who's volunteered to mentor us as One Life Africa students, to love on us, to give financially, and to just walk with us, and even sacrifice to come down there to the slums and just see how we live. Thank you so much. On behalf of all the students, I want to tell you that we are grateful that you have been so good to us. Thank you so much. I want to thank my American family, Greg and Jeannie Barnes and Karen and the whole family. Thank you for loving me.
Come on up if you're okay with that, okay? Well, we thank God for you, Flora, and I'm glad that you all have had a chance to meet her. You know, she's in many respects, I think she would agree, she's just an ordinary girl. But in many other ways, she is a hero of faith. And the adversity that she has faced makes anything that we have faced. And if Flora can trust God and live in Mathare, what ought we to do as we face adversity that pales in comparison? So this is a dream come true. You know, Flora said back in 2006 that she knew she'd come out of the slums. I don't think that you probably envision today. not at all. But Flora hasn't come out of the slum because you live in Mathare, right? Yeah, you're going to go back and live there. And I think you heard the passion in her heart to serve the poor, women, children. And you read the word, read Psalm 72. That's God's heart. That's God's heart. And he's put that in Flora. Now, everybody's got to start somewhere, and you've got this passion, but after you get, and this is going to be a big deal when you get admitted to the bar, what do you envision happening next once you are admitted to the bar? What do you think will happen next? Yeah. What we might do.
Mm-hmm. After admission to the bar, I will begin my job search and just sending applications to different organizations,
What are some that have come to your mind?
There's World Vision that deals with children mostly. There's International Justice Mission and other organizations.
Okay. And so that's something that we can pray for God to guide Flora. And okay, he's put the heart in her. He's given her the skills. He's taken her through this experience like we can't even imagine. He's going to use that. He's going to use that. And he's now involved us, hasn't he? He's now made us aware of what he's doing. You know, and we get the privilege to be a part of, you know, there's no good reason. In fact, I got to tell you something. We were going to have a message this morning, but this is the message, right? Yes. And I want you to go home and read Luke 2, verses 21 through 38. It's about one of the four Christmas celebrations that take place in Scripture. There was the angels. There was the shepherds who heard the angels, and then they went and saw Mary and Joseph and Jesus. There were the magi. And then there was this passage. Simeon and Anna, two old people who just were waiting for the Messiah. And suddenly, they were invited to a party that they didn't even know was going to happen. Nobody knew it was going to happen but God. There was a whole set, as you read this passage, there was a whole set of divine coincidences. One right after another. Simeon was being led by the Holy Spirit. He just happened to come into the temple as Mary and Joseph were there. What a coincidence. And here Simeon is blessing the baby Jesus. And Anna, a woman of 84 years old, who she just happened to walk in at that moment. She was waiting for Jesus and just happened to walk in at that moment. What a coincidence. Well, you know something? As we have God the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his still small voice that always aligns with his word. He guides us. And when he does those things, we have divine coincidences. And the very fact that today is happening is a result of a whole lot of divine coincidences. Think about this. Bear with me just for a second, okay? Thank you. Thank you for putting up with me. She knew what to expect. Andrew showed up in America because he was the one student out of 600 applicants for a position, an exchange student at Westmont. While he was here, he just happened to end up here one Thanksgiving because he was invited by Greg and Jeannie's daughter. Alicia. What a coincidence. And while he was here, we saw Mazari through his eyes for the first time. And a couple years later, the four of us went over there. And when we were there, we just happened to meet this young lady. And here we are. What a coincidence. That's God at work. That is God at work, and we need to bow before him. And realize that. The people that day in the temple, when Jesus was being presented and these two old saints just worshiped him. There are thousands of people who just walked by and just saw a two-month-old baby. They saw God the Son. That's who he was. And we could see this as just, wow, what a great chance to hear this young lady from Kenya. Or it could be one of those divine coincidences, right? God at work. Maybe he nudges us, okay, how can we trust him? And Flora's just like us, you know? But how can we trust him in the face of whatever adversity we are facing? How can we trust him with our future? He can be trusted. He can be trusted. Jesus entrusted himself to his Father so much that he was willing to be born and become this helpless infant. Jesus trusted his Father that much. We can trust him. It's easy to say those words, but then the first trial comes along and boy, it's hard. But I think that's why God sent along examples like Flora, right? To remind us that what we think is hard ain't so hard at all, right? We don't want to be spiritual wimps. We want to trust in the Lord, and that's where our strength comes from. I would like to If there's anyone in the first few rows, because otherwise we have chaos. If there's anyone in the first few rows who would like to come up and... one way to show that you identify with someone when you're praying for them is to put your hands on them. Now, we're not going to creep you out, Flora, I promise. If any of you in the front would like to do that, for those who just can't walk up there, another way to do that is to just extend your hand. That's just the way to symbolically say... it's as if I'm putting my hand on you because I am praying for you. So if you'd like to join us, I'd like to pray for Flora and close by a few of us praying out loud for her, okay? So if any of you who are close by, you don't have to claw over your neighbors, would like to come up and join me, that would be wonderful. Okay. Well, let's pray for Flora. Let's have a few of you pray, and then I'll close. And you can, even though you can't walk up there, you can reach toward her in identification. Lord, thank you that you truly are with us, that this time of year especially, we remember that you who always existed, you who created the heavens and the earth, chose to become a man and was born a helpless baby. You trusted your Father that much. And Lord, we see that kind of trust, that fruit of walking with you. We see that in Flora. And Lord, we need practical examples. And thank you that she is such an example of faith to us. Lord, we just agree with all the prayers that have been offered for her. And we just ask that we would be faithful to fulfill your purposes. And Lord, might your name be praised in Madari. Might your justice be done. And use the passion, the burden that can't be separated from Flora. It's who she is, and it's the burden that you've put on her heart. They're one. And just develop her and use her as you would see fit and help us to be kind of our biggest cheerleaders. And thank you for Greg and Jeannie and Karen and Craig and just the whole family and for adopting Flora and just having her as just a part of her family, a picture of what you've done for each one of us. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time together, and we are dismissed in the mighty name of God with us, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.